couple of years down the road, life has taken a unexpected but ultimately positive turn.
Okay.
You are no longer living in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. Where am I living?
You are back in Dupo, Illinois.
Oh, no.
Town you're from.
No, man. That's not even the town I'm from. I like to clarify something here. I grew up in a town called Columbia, which was like one of the wealthiest counties in all of Illinois. It was like the wealthiest county in like Southern Illinois or one of them.
Congratulations.
And then I went to high school. I was also the poorest person in town. Oh, my family. We were the poorest people in like the richest fucking county in Illinois outside of Cook County. And then I moved to Dupo, Illinois, which is as poor as it sounds.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was night and day. And if I had to move back home, I don't know.
Yeah.
Living in Dupo? Am I renting an apartment in Dupo?
My
is that
friend,
what I'm doing?
The reason that you're back there.
Is Dairyland still open?
Not only is the Dairyland still open, it's open 24 hours
Holy
a day.
Holy shit. Damn, man. What a change.
Yeah, the reason that you are back there,
yeah,
is you are now the richest man in Dupo, Illinois.
Okay. There was one guy who was really rich who lived there.
Yeah.
But he didn't kind of, I don't know if he lived like technically in that town or not.
What's his deal?
He owned a bunch of land. His name was Lou Mund. And he was worth like, I don't know, like tens of millions of dollars. He like had an auto shop and owned a bunch of land. And he used to own this golf course I worked at. He never married. He said he was going to leave all of his money to large animal veterinary school at the University of Illinois in Champaign, Urbana.
And
I don't
he
know if
did.
he did. He's dead now, though.
Yeah, and he did. They actually, it's the largest, largest vet school in America.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they name a building after him or anything?
They were going to.
Yeah.
But they forgot. So by the time they remembered, like they already opened it. So they were like, oh, shit. And so they named the men's room after him.
Yeah, the Lou Mund Memorial Men's Room.
The Lou Mund Memorial Men's Room, yeah.
Man, he deserved better than that. He was always kind to me. Some people didn't like him, but...
But a part of you thinks that, like, he would find it kind of funny.
Yeah, he probably would.
Yeah. So what happened was you won the lottery.
All right. How much? And, like, give me the after everything number. I don't want...
Sure.
I don't care about everything else.
After taxes and paying your agent, you
agent.
ended up. Yeah, there's like lottery agents.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And what they
it's a
do
new thing the lottery's doing.
Yeah, they have like well no, it's so they're not officially like with like the they're not like employees of the you know the lottery or whatever.
California State Lotto or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, they are like independent lottery agents. And what they do is it's kind of like, you know how there's like offices or groups of friends who they'll all buy in together on like lottery. And if one of them wins, everybody wins type of deal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So what they do is they kind of go around and get people to buy into those. And you kind of put some money into one and just forgot about it. And you ended up, after taxes and after giving them their percentage, you ended up with $15,000. And you
15
are now,
large.
Yep, 15 large.
And because I'm 15 large in the black, I am the richest man in Dupo, Illinois.
The richest man in town.
Man, that sounds fucking miserable. If nobody in town's got more than 15 grand, why not? What happened? why is everyone, I mean, 15 grand, someone as poor as I have been throughout my life is like a lot of money,
Yeah.
but it's also not like enough money to be the richest guy in a town of several thousand people,
So,
like a blue collar neighborhood.
they also bought into the lottery, but they all like lost,
Okay.
you know? So they all they and they got like scammed. Like Lotto, like the
The whole
Lotto,
town.
yeah, the whole town has been scammed. Lotto has made like a not like a comeback necessarily, but it's bigger than it ever was.
Damn,
And
I feel like
there's
it's pretty
like
big now. I mean,
it's
hey,
pretty.
I'll admit, when it gets up into like the $1 billion range, yeah, I'm gonna go spend $20 on tickets. And
Sure.
then I'm gonna think about it the whole week and like, man, what would I do? And that's enough entertainment for me. That's what I
Right.
say. That's how I
Yeah.
justify this gambling addiction I have.
Sure. Normally you think of yourself as like just being, you know, a $20 man.
Yeah, I'm a $20 man. That's fair to say.
Yeah.
Only when it hits into like the big money or, you know,
But this time
the bees.
you decided like, you know, I'm gonna pay a little extra. So you bought in for $25 and you ended
Okay.
up with like 15 grand. So like it's a pretty good, you know, thing. And now like
I'm not gonna, yeah.
and like
Great.
you're in like high society in like Dupo these days, dude.
Jesus Christ.
You're not renting a apartment. You like have your own house.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a it's a pretty cool house, you know. You've named it Chateau Le Héron.
That fucking sucks. Why? Is it like French themed?
You don't think it's kind of cool?
Mean, I would probably say that exact thing to my mom when she came over. Hey, this is Chateau Le Héron,
Yeah,
you
and
know?
like it just kind of like stuck. So
Oh, that sucks.
at the you call it the toe. You're like, hey guys, come on over to the toe. Hang for the whole weekend. People are like, yeah, Aaron rules.
Okay, so I'm a cool bachelor in Dupo, Illinois, who has more money than anyone else
Yeah, and you have a
at
very cool house.
$15,000.
15
Very
grand.
cool house.
Yeah. Chateau, aka the Chateau Le Heron, aka the Toe. So you are living in Dupo, and it's sort of like it's almost like living in like the Playboy Mansion. You know what I mean? But it's like Dupo,
No,
Illinois.
Matt, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. Dupo,
You have.
Illinois doesn't have a Playboy mansion. How would
No,
I have
they.
any knowledge of what the Playboy mansion is like?
Well, they do now, dude, and it's Chateau Le Heron, and it is
Oh,
like
no.
basically that's where you go if you are looking to
No.
party, dude.
No, I do not like this. I do not like this one bit.
You have like a grotto built and stuff like that. You
Okay,
have
Grotto
like
sounds rad.
you have a gigantic waterbed that takes up your entire room. Like your room is like you
Oh,
have like
hard
two rooms.
dislike.
You have a room that is like your normal room, your bedroom or whatever, and then you have the one that's you call it the super bedroom because it's just a room with just the gigantic waterbed in it. And so
Man.
you are, you know, and you're having like, you know, these lavish parties and stuff like that, luau parties and stuff.
How am I affording this with only $15,000 left?
Because
How? How am I doing? How am I building a grotto? Which means I'd have to hire a fucking crew for 15 grand.
yeah.
How?
Because to be honest with you, Aaron, the economy kind of took a hit. It's only recently starting to recover. So, like, 15 grand is going a long way, longer than a country mile, as you say to yourself.
So are the prices of everything else like it was in the fucking 1800s?
Yeah, dude.
How much is a gallon of milk? I'm
A
not a
gallon.
milk drinker, but like,
You're not, but you can't help but notice it, you know, when you would.
yeah.
So, because even though you're the richest man in town, you can still like, you know, you still like walk around and stuff. It's not like your attitude or anything like that changes. So, like, you're
No.
still, yeah, I mean, you go to the store and stuff and buy your own. You're not like out of touch, you know, but like,
I mean, Dupo doesn't have, really have a store. They got the gas station. That's
So,
where
like,
you
would.
go if you needed like a quick gallon of milk.
Yeah.
You go to the gas station or like a packet of ham or
Right.
sandwiches the next day. Little so gas you, station.
so you go to,
Hucks.
what's it called?
Hucks. It's a Huckleberry Finn based themed. It's not a gas station.
Is that real?
Hucks. Yeah, dude.
It's Huck Finn themed.
Yeah, there's a picture of like a kid in a like a goofy ass hat.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
Hucks.
You when you go to Huck's to go like grocery shopping and stuff like that for your nightly packet of ham,
nightly I'm pounding a packet of ham every night, Pat.
It's like a status thing almost.
Okay, gotcha. Like the economy's that bad where meat
Yeah.
is like, and I'm still, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I don't think I do a daily packet of ham.
Well, you do
If
it,
it was like, you know, that sounds like showing off.
But here's the deal. It's not that you're showing off. Like, you actually are taking, you're not like taking care of people financially, but you're employing some people. You have a business going in Dupo.
Oh, okay.
And also, when you
What
go to
about?
Huck's, when you go to Huck's and you see that they're shopping for your ham,
yeah,
for you and your employees, you see like a gallon of milk is like 10 cents.
How much does a pack of ham set me back?
Three.
Okay. Yeah. 3 cents for a packet of ham that'll feed me and my crew.
Yeah.
What kind of business do I have?
It's called. So basically, you all around the Midwest.
Yeah.
You are known as the Gravy Master.
Oh, fuck.
You have a started a business where you like sell. It started off as you just like selling the recipe to, you know, like gravy. You just came up with your own like gravy recipe one night. You had one evening where the evening that you created it, you almost kind of don't even remember doing it because that's how focused on.
It's in my flow state.
You are in your flow state, dude.
My gravy flow state.
Yeah. You are flowing and flowing that evening. And it's like it's a dark and stormy night, and there's like thunder and lightning and like hail and stuff like that.
Hail.
And yeah, there's hail. And sometimes you feel like the hail is like it's hitting the kitchen window or whatever, and it's hitting it so intensely that you kind of think to yourself, like, what if it like destroys the window, you know? And then a part of you like is like, and like the wind outside is going so intently that you're like, you think about like getting like that, getting your body like sucked through that fucking window into the
oh,
wind,
Jesus,
into the hurricane. You kind of like think about it, and like to be, and like you think about like your body being ripped apart and kind of almost joining the wind, and you kind of like think to yourself like, holy shit. And so while you're thinking about that, you're distracted by the weather. You kind of notice that like you look down and you look down at the gravy that you had been like stirring, and you had realized like, oh, if you stir it just the right amount of turns, you create the best gravy that anyone has ever had in their fucking life.
This is brown gravy we're talking? White gravy? Is it like a country gravy? Like what's...
So initially, when you just like created it in your house, it was a white gravy, but you figure out like the perfect number of like oscillations, you know what I mean, for every single type of gravy to create Gravy Master brand gravy. So you
I have
sell
a line
country.
of gravies.
Yeah. You're doing pretty well financially, like I said, but you're sort of still a smaller kind of company. So you're only kind of deal mostly in like the Midwest. Like you just haven't, you're not big enough yet to branch off, but you feel like you could get there.
So like my Gravy Master is sold at like Walmarts and shit throughout the Midwest.
Yeah. So it
local
started off
grocers.
Yeah. So like it started off you creating the actual like gravy and you being like, holy shit. And then you think about selling like the recipe, but like just as like, hey, this is like the recipe I created, but you were like, no, man, like you think to yourself,
I want a bigger
like,
bite of the apple.
you want a bigger bite of the apple, because you think about it, your roommate died while you were
holy stirring, shit,
while you were stirring the gravy. You were distracted by the thunder, the lightning, and the gravy. And so you kind of like, you think to yourself, like, you know, a man died for this gravy. So you get really, really like into like this kind of becomes your thing. You know what I mean? You become very invested in being the gravy master. Okay. And so you wear,
how many gravies do I have?
So you have your white gravy and your brown gravy.
Okay.
All right. You call it Aaron's standards, the white and brown gravy. Okay. There's also a country gravy. There's a
What does that mean? When you describe
gravy?
Country gravy. Is that like a sausage, peppery? Yeah.
It's like a sausage and apple gravy.
A sausage and apple gravy. Okay.
Sausage and apple gravy.
And that's the country gravy.
Yeah, you put it under your country classics. Except you spell it C-U-N-T-R-Y.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's an accident. You don't mean to do it, but it just kind of catches.
Yeah. How fucking ridiculous. I'm selling a fucking homespun good boy line of gravies, but I'm spelling country without the O.
And you're very much a part of the brand.
Yeah, I'm hands like on.
It's sort of like what's his name with KFC, you know? You're like the colonel, except for gravy. So a lot of times you'll have like a straw hat on and like a straw for like your teeth and stuff like that.
Why am I playing this idiot thing?
Well, because you're the gravy master. You kind of realize it's not enough to have the perfect amount of stirring or whatever for gravy. It doesn't matter if you create the best gravy of all time if there's no one there to lap it up. That's what you think to yourself. So anyway, this sucks. What do you mean?
I mean, it fucking sucks. I'm selling jars of gravy. One of them has sausage and apple with it.
Yeah, dude. Those were like, yeah, go ahead. It started off with you like selling it door to door. And
no.
Again, this is how good this gravy is, dude. Even during this economic downturn, after, you know, what had happened to the nation, there was like even.
What do you mean?
So there was a kind of a, I guess you could call it a civil war that occurred. This is a few years down the road.
Okay. Is this like the civil war that feels like it's on the tips of everyone's tongue?
Not really, actually. It kind of
red
comes,
v blue?
No, it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's called, now people call it, back then no one had a name for it, but now people call it the Cola Wars.
Yeah.
The Cola Wars,
Wars.
Were sort of, it's like Coke versus Pepsi type of deal. You basically had to pick a side. So anything that was under the Coke conglomerate was against anything under the Pepsi. You know what I mean? But there were some that were kind of in between. You know what I mean? There's some independent cola. There's a lot of independent cola out there. And so
RC.
They had RC. Yeah, stuff like that. So they had to pick a side. And
what about Dr. Pepper? Where's the Dr. Pepper playing in this? Because to be honest with you, that's the team that I would be on.
So what happened with Dr. Pepper was it was the people who supported, you know, drinking Dr. Pepper. They started off on the Coke side.
Okay.
And then about halfway through the war, they actually defected onto the side of Pepsi.
Okay. Why?
You know, who can tell in war? You know, there's conflicting reports. I mean, Aaron, a lot of really, really bad stuff went down. People were, you know, like torn apart and then like hung from, you know, like the rafters of like schools.
Jesus
Yeah,
Christ.
it got very, very bloody very, very quickly.
I
And
didn't realize we were such a, you know, a whole nation.
That's like the no one really did. And then like later on, historians later on are like, you know, it kind of makes sense. You know, who doesn't have a favorite cola? So eventually, you know, humans are tribal by nature, you know, and so it's like people kind of, yeah, they turned on each other based on the type of soft drink they liked. And so eventually the way that so this it was a it was a it wasn't a very long war, but it was devastating. It really, however, the way that it ended was Dr. Pepper supporters realized the only way that they could like redeem themselves is they sacrificed themselves.
I don't want any fucking part of this shit. You know? I don't want any fucking part of this. I'm not going to align politically or ideologically with people just because they fucking drank Dr. Pepper.
Again, when you look back on it, it seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the Dr. Pepper...
I'm not going to kill myself for Dr. Pepper.
Well, these people did. And so it shocked people enough that they realized, like, holy fuck, like, what are we doing? This is crazy.
Who's the most famous person from Team Dr. Pepper? They kill themselves.
So there was a guy. He was known as the Fifth Street Demon.
Never heard of this guy. So who's the most famous person? And you named somebody that I don't know.
So the Fifth Street Demon was called that because he protected a specific part of town, of Austin. It was on Fifth Street in between Red River and Sabine.
Okay.
He protected that one block. And in the kind of the craziness of the Cola Wars, like that was kind of considered the one place you could go. And honestly, you could drink whatever kind of cola you wanted there because you knew that no one was going to fuck with you. When you were on that, like, about, I don't know, 40-foot block or whatever, like, you were going to be okay.
And this person is the most famous person.
Yeah, because basically he was a protector there, and he kind of made people like feel safe again, you know, in a time when it was people turning on each other for the most ridiculous of reasons. This was a guy who, even though he was incredibly violent towards, you know, criminals and stuff like that, he kept people safe. And so he finally went on TV and unmasked. It turned out he was this guy named Larry S. Truman. He was just like some guy, like, and he decided like he had had enough, and he became the demon of Fifth Street. And he unmasked himself and he goes, "Listen, fellow Dr. Pepper supporters, we were wrong. Even though what we did was for the right reason, we did it the wrong way. And there's no way that we can save this nation's soul unless we do this." And then he just like blows his brains out on public TV.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude. And so all the Dr. Pepper people were like, holy shit. And like, so like a lot of them were like, yeah. And like, they went along with them and stuff. And so that, again, kind of shocked the nation out of what was going on. And so the nation has been hit very, very hard due to the Cola Wars. And the economy is only just now starting to, to recover. And so because there were so many war crimes committed on both sides afterward, there really was no way for anyone to point fingers without being like, well, are you kidding me? Like, what about you guys who did this? You know what I mean? Like, there is really pretty much no one who came out of this without any blood on their hands. You know what I mean? This affected everyone. And so Yeah, so it's sort of the Cola Wars have kind of, you know, it almost tore the nation apart, but it's starting to come together. We're starting to, you know, trust each other again. And so basically, everyone was just kind of given a blanket amnesty. It's just, hey, man, whatever happened, those were crazy days. So.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Yeah. So
Jesus Christ.
So you're the gravy master. And you are like employing like, you know, like several people. And so you actually, not because you're like trying to show off, but like a lot of times you'll have those guys and their families over for dinner and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you take care of your guys, you know? So yeah, right. Like you buy yourself, you know, a daily packet of ham, but you're not the only one chowing down on that ham, my friend.
You got other people
you've
with
got,
me.
You've got people who depend on you.
Okay.
And you're sharing that ham.
Okay.
So you're kind of doing your gravy master thing, living in Duplo, Illinois. Things are kind of okay. You're, like I said, you're kind of in like high society and stuff. So people see you at like the Duplo Opera House and
what? Duplo has an opera house?
Yeah, you built an opera house.
Why the fuck would I build an opera house?
To bring some culture and bring some, you know, some much needed levity to a town that was tricked by, you know, lottery scammers.
So I build an opera house. That's my plan.
Yeah. And you actually recruit some pretty promising opera, you know, operatic talent, because it's not like, you know, there's a lot of jobs available for them. So they're like, yeah, I'll go live here where it's, you know, it seems like it's not super expensive to live. And, you know, he's got this state-of-the-art opera house in the middle of this town. And that's a little odd, but, you know, the acoustics in this opera house are perfect.
Okay.
So, you're living there, and like I said, things are going okay, you know? You have to travel to go to an expo. You're there to cut with you're bringing you know, your Gravy Master products. And basically, you're there to kind of pitch yourself to different, you know, like I said, you're only right now in the Midwest. And you kind of want to expand. You know what I mean?
I got white gravy. I got brown gravy. I got country gravy, which has sausage and apples in it.
Yeah.
And that's that's what I got.
Yeah. But you have some stuff that you are planning that is going to knock people's socks off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have one that you're planning called Diamonds and Gravy. You have one gravy concept.
Hang on. Diamonds? Is this like a promotional stunt?
So it's not literally diamonds. It's like it's just a fancy name you gave. It's kind of like oysters and pearls, you know what I mean? But yours is
diamonds and gravy, yeah.
Diamonds
okay.
and gravy. Yeah. And this
what's the deal with diamonds and gravy?
It is gravy for the upper crust of society.
Well, what's it like taste like?
So this is a gentleman's gravy. This is a gravy that it's going to, if you just are someone off the street, it's sort of like whiskey, you know? It's like you kind of have, it takes you a second to kind of develop your taste.
Your gravy palate.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to develop your gravy palate. But you're like confident that like once people do, like, you know, this is going to be kind of a strange sell, but you're like, look, once people kind of get used to this, like I guarantee you 10 years ahead of everyone else when it comes to
this. I didn't
realize
there was such a market for jarred gravy.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that you don't know about.
Yeah, you're right.
So you go to this expo. It's at the Lanalax Expo Center in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right.
And
home of the big booty women.
You get off your plane there. And there's like a man standing there, like holding a like a sign that says Aaron Brooks. What do you do?
Am I expecting to be picked up by somebody? Yeah, then I
Like
would say, hey, that's me.
the guy greets you, opens the door to the town car. There's like a bunch of stuff in like the back, so you have to sit in the front seat with him. He's like, "Is that cool?"
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. That's fine. I'll sit in the front seat.
He smiles, he gets in, closes the door,
So the
starts.
back of the limo is so filled with stuff. Like that's like extra space.
Well, it's filled with the with all like the gravy.
Oh, okay. So they send a limo to pick this up. Okay.
With so it's a limo stuffed with gravy, and you get in, and the guy drives you to the exposition center, to Expo Center, and he's a pretty interesting guy. He's had an interesting life. He went to a computer hacker school,
Yeah.
and he actually says that he is he's like, yeah, I do this on the side. He's actually like the second best computer hacker in the world.
Yeah.
At one point, like, this guy's had an interesting life. At one point, he actually won like player of the year.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This guy is like a pimp. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Literally, maybe,
Yeah.
right?
He might be like, he kind of like, you kind of don't come
Heavily
out and
implied.
it's heavily implied that he is
Okay.
that he's a pimp. And he goes, he drops you off at the Expo Center, and like, he leaves his number. He's like, hey, if you need a ride later on, here's my number. You're like, thank you, Mr. Best. And you guys
Mr.
take.
Best.
He goes, see you later. And like the business card he gives you says Antonio Best as his phone number. So you set up in the Expo Center, and there's people walking by as you're setting up, and you kind of hear some people like honestly, like a few people stop, and they're like, and like you're not like set up or anything, but you do have to be in salesman mode, even though you're not, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? And so at all times. And so people are like, oh, what are you setting up here? And then you're like, oh, hey, they go, wait, are you the, oh my God, you're not the gravy master, are you? And you're like, yeah, that's me. And like, oh, I've wanted to try your gravy for so long. Like, we can't get it where I live. And they're like, okay, yeah, well, And so like people, they stop and chat with you and stuff like that.
Yeah, my adoring fans.
Well, that's the thing.
Fans
These
of
are
the
people.
Gravy Master.
They know you because they've seen your commercials. They've never had your
Yeah.
gravy though. So they are fan, like you do have fans because of the commercials and stuff that you've put out into the world, as the Gravy Master. Where
Oh no.
so there's like one commercial is like you and like you're in your country boy getup, you have the straw hat, you've got the thing in your teeth, the straw,
Yeah.
and you're on like a hammock, you know what I mean? And like you're like swinging back and forth, and then you're just and you
Yeah.
and you look up and you go, yeah, I might just be a simple farm boy from Dupo, Illinois. And then you turn to the camera, and you it turns to the camera, and you go, but that doesn't mean I don't know how to party. And then suddenly, like a bunch of like babes like come out and they start dancing, and everyone has like your gravy and stuff like that. And it's like, Aaron Brooks, country gravy, Aaron Brooks, apples and sausage. And so,
Oh no. No.
because of these commercials, people are like, what the fuck? Who is this guy? And so,
Jeez, I've had people say that to me to my face every day. Somebody says apple and sausage like a fucking idiot every day.
you fucking love it, dude. You're the
Yeah, I
gravy
probably do.
master.
I probably do.
You
I'm
know,
probably secretly really into this.
you've decided to like kind of buy
I'm into
in
this.
secretly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're secretly into this. So you kind of decide to buy into the character a little bit. You know how like Stan Lee like kind of played up a certain image that he had in
Sure,
the
sure.
60s. I'm a this baffling, bodacious kind of like kind of salesman guy, almost like a Barnum and Bailey type guy. Like, and then he bought into that and just decided to just be like that all the time. And so you kind of decided to do that. So when people go like apples and sausage to you, you're like, that's my country gravy. Mm-mm. And people just laugh. But but here's the deal, though. Like, most of the comments are like, what, you know, WTF, like, this is so strange. Ha 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 ha. Hilarious, though. You know, one guy's like, you know, I had this gravy and it made me think of my dead mother. And then someone will write like, this gravy rules if you can actually get your hands on it. So like people, so like, you know, you're getting some engagement and stuff like that. And, you know, some people do make fun of you for
sure. It sounds great. Yeah. It sounds great. It sounds like the internet.
Right. So you're setting up at the Lanalax Expo Center, setting up the your whole gravy mask for gimmick. You're wearing like a gigantic bow tie.
Okay.
You get kind of like thirsty. You've decided like, oh, I'm just gonna like go for a walk or whatever. Because you decide like, all right, like people are gonna start coming by in about an hour. I'm just gonna go for a quick walk, kind of get my, because like you're not necessarily nervous, but you have nervous excitement. You know what I mean? And so you kind of just got to walk it off. Yeah, you kind of want to get in the zone. So you kind of want to like walk it off a little bit. So you start walking and you see there's like a convenience store there. RBM Food Mart Atlanta.
Yeah.
What would you want to drink? Like what do you normally drink if you're out?
Let's get water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's
get a fucking bottle of water.
Yeah. So you're like, yeah, gonna get some water. You walk to the convenience store and you like open the door and like it doesn't open. And you go, what? And you turn around and standing there,
motherfucker,
are 45 men.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of dudes who are dressed in like different like military outfits from different eras. So there's like a Revolutionary War guy with like a musket, you know.
Yeah.
There's a guy from like current day, you know, with like camo and like, you know, machine guns or whatever. I mean, I don't know, whatever they have. Definitely there's some Civil War outfits.
What side?
So they're actually purple. They took the red and the fucking blue and mixed them together.
It doesn't help me at all.
So they kind of represent like all of them. And then this one guy who's dressed like a Navy SEAL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He kind of walks towards you and he goes, "Hello, Aaron. We are the Freedom 45.
Yeah.
Keeper of presidential oaths and myths."
Yeah.
And they go on to explain to you that they're a group of people who they kind of, like they said, they're the protector of different presidential, you know, oaths and myths.
Yeah.
And they go on to tell you that the Lanalax Corporation is, going to go back in time.
Yeah.
And steal George Washington's powdered wig.
Okay.
And they kind of go on to explain to you that not only would this be, you know, something under their purview as a presidential, you know, myth of, you know, President Washington and his, you know, epic powdered, you know, wig or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is that George Washington had been visited by aliens at one point in his life, and he had been given this thing that people thought was like, oh, it's like his powdered wig, but actually it was like really like advanced technology. And so that's how he was able to win the Revolutionary War. So if they go back in time and like steal his wig, then, you know, bye bye America, possibly, you know, because it's, you know, a lot of people, historians, like, oh yeah, that's probably why they actually won the, you know, the revolution. It was successful because of the alien technology found in George Washington's wig.
So why wouldn't they just wait to steal it after the war?
This one guy steps forward. He's like a Vietnam era, you know? He goes, Aaron, we don't have much time. He goes, we need your help.
What do you want me to do?
So it turns out, they tell you that you are the great, 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 great son of George Washington himself.
Holy shit.
And thus a member of their sacred group. You look down and suddenly you're wearing like modern like camo gear and like holding holding like, you know, like a machine gun.
An advanced rifle.
Yep. And they go, we are now the Freedom 46.
I fucking hate this.
You've now joined the keeper of presidential oaths and myths.
So my life is gone. My life is like finally good. It's just fucking over. I'm like making more money. I'm finding success. And it's sans. And that's just fucking gone to go chase down a fucking wig.
And they go, 250
years ago. A wig?
It's alien technology.
I don't give a fuck. You just ruined my life. You caught me outside of a place where I'm trying to go get a fucking drink. I'm an hour away from an expo where I'm like trying to capitalize on my career, and you just take it all away from me? Fuck you.
The gravy master.
Give me that.
And they go, will you join us?
I say, fuck no. I won't join you. Fuck no. My life is good out here. Why the fuck would I go with you?
To save, you know, the possibility of America never being founded in the first place, you know?
I'm not good at anything you need.
They go, Aaron, you are the great, 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 great grandson of George Washington. You have greatness. It's flowing through your veins. And you look down at your
tech
like,
startup.
And you see your veins and like they glow for just a second.
Oh, great. That's fucking horrifying. No, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. I want to be the gravy master. I'm making a choice. I start unbuttoning this camo. I put my advanced rifle at my feet.
Yeah.
Taking the shirt off.
This guy who is from like the Korean War steps forward. He's like, Aaron, no, don't. He goes, if you leave us now, you can never join us again.
Yeah. See ya. I look him in the face and I go, I know nothing about what you did. I couldn't tell you a single thing about the Korean War. I legitimately couldn't. I have no idea when it occurred. I have no idea why it happened. Genuinely don't know anything about the Korean War. I'm sorry. I feel bad. But I'm not going with you.
It is kind of seen as America's forgotten war.
They shouldn't teach me about it.
And so you don't join the Freedom 45?
Fuck no. Why are you going to send a Korean War veteran as your last ditch effort? At least, you know, like send a guy who's from like a war that I might have seen in a movie.
Well, they're all from, yeah. I mean, you do see that. There's 45 men. They're all from different eras. So you definitely do, you know, recognize one. And so they kind of like start to like fade away, almost like smoke, like kind of like wavy smoke. And you hear them be like, I hope you did the right thing, Aaron. I hope for all of us. Oh, fuck you.
Great. Am I in my regular clothes?
Yeah, you're in your regular clothing again.
Where's the gun?
It's gone.
Okay.
You walk inside to the to RBM Atlanta. You get a bottle of water. You reach into your pocket. Turns out one of the guys of the Freedom 45 just Pickpocket you so you can't pay for your
What the
water. So
fuck? They stole my fucking wallet?
yeah, I mean, one of them did. So you're like kind of annoyed, and you walk back to the you're like, oh man, I gotta get back to the
The expo.
yeah, the expo.
It's almost gravy time.
You kind of think that to yourself, and you kind of were lost in your own thoughts. And so, like, you were kind of like, you realize you walked a little farther away than you thought. You look over and you see, you're like kind of in a panic, and you see one of those Car2Go's, and you're like, fuck it, I'll just use one of these. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yeah. A little mini tiny electric car.
The mini tiny electric car that you can kind of rent for like a very short amount of time. So you jump in, you plug your seatbelt and just get going. And you get right on that fucking open road, and like there is no traffic. You know what I mean? So you just put your pedal to the metal. There's like nobody around at all.
That's weird.
Except for the figure you see in the rearview mirror.
God damn it. That has such a tiny back seat.
In the
It's like
rearview mirror,
non-existent.
you see a man sitting in the back of your car. He his face is made of smoke. One of his eyes glows red, and you kind of go like, ah, like you're startled, and you kind of like turn around and look into this back seat, and there's no one there. And you're like, huh. You go back to driving again, and you look up into the rearview mirror, and like that fucking smoky figure is in that rearview mirror. And you hear him say, hello, Aaron. I'm the man in the back seat. He who rules the road. And you see, clutched in his fist, is a white wig.
It wouldn't have made a fucking difference.
He makes like a fist holding it,
Fuck
and
you.
the car
Fuck you.
explodes. The car
Fuck
explodes.
him.
You were only about like 300 feet away from like the expo center. Your car
Yeah.
like ex just explodes, and they never find a trace of your body. It's that blown up.
Jesus Christ. Is that blown up? Jesus. That sucks.
The Gravy Master brand of gravy goes down in
Yeah.
the history goes down in history as like one of the most sought after cans of gravy. They end up selling because there's only like a certain amount made. They call them the original 2000. Those are like eventually people reverse engineer it and like they figure out how you made it and stuff, like some conglomerate like buys it or whatever. But people, those original 2000 cans of gravy, some of them end up going on the market, on like the black gravy market for like ironically enough, $15,000.
Oh
That's how
man.
rare and that's how sought after, because this is like seen as like, it's like the Stradivarius of gravy, of canned gravy. But you're, fucking dead.
That sucks. Fuck him. He picked my pocket.
That's what you're upset about.